Lord, we come to you and we're so thankful for your word and how applicable it is to our lives. Pray that today we would be thankful for what we have and what you've given us in your word. And I pray that as I share a warning from your word, that we'll heed that warning and come to you for strength and help. And we'll thank you, praise you for all you do today. In your name I pray. Amen. I'm going to fix this real quick. I'm kind of breathing in it. And then we'll get started. This thing never does fit my ear quite right. I think it's just geared for our pastor. And I'm certainly okay with that. I am very thankful to preach. Never under the circumstances where my pastor is sick. But I do love to preach, so we're very thankful. Beware. I've got a warning for you this morning. You are in serious danger. The kind of danger that you don't see coming. In Florida, there's a bridge that my grandparents like to take me over. It's called the Sunshine Skyway. We love to go over that bridge just because it's kind of a pretty good-sized bridge, and you see the city nearby and the ocean right there. Before that particular one was built, there was another one right beside it, and actually for many years it's stayed beside it. You drive the one, but the other one wasn't drivable because one foggy morning in Florida, the bridge went out. Right at the peak, a section had collapsed, and the reason I'm sure they've dug into, I'm not personally sure why it collapsed, but it did. It wouldn't have been so dangerous had it been a clear sunny day like a lot of times they have in Florida, but today was not like that. Dense fog, you could barely see the car in front of you. And really, at certain points, the car in front of you would disappear. Well, that's exactly what happened to many of the cars that day. They drove up that bridge and then they disappeared. Right over the edge of a bridge that was out. One man, he decided to take it a little slower that day. He just thought, something's off. Man, this fog is thick. And as he got closer, he saw the edge just in time, and he screeched to a halt to where his front wheels hung off the edge of this bridge. And he sat there kind of shivering and shaking for a minute because he was scared to death, and then he got out of his car, and he went running down the highway. Stop, stop, please! Stop, stop! There's danger, there's danger! But cars just whipped right by him, and he would get out in front of cars until they stopped, and he'd run to the next one. Stop, stop, there's danger. Some people chose to not listen. What's this crazy man? Swerve around him and kept going to their doom. But some heeded the warning. A school bus teetered on the edge, full of kids on their way to school just one summer morning. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that you're in grave danger. Danger we don't think about. Danger that maybe the fog, per se, is blinding us to. Danger that each individual is. You see, there's a lion out. A roaring lion that wants to devour. He wants to take little ones like little Oliver that likes to lead the singing, and he wants to wreck their lives. He wants to take marriages and rip them apart. He wants to take pastors and cause them to fall into sin. He wants to infiltrate your home and destroy everything. Take away joy. Take away the glory that you could give to an almighty God. Take away the fellowship and cause strife. I've seen it firsthand. I sat with a kid that I was counseling. I he had watched as his dad had brutally beat his mom. The kitchen was all bloody from her, him slinging her around. Just got drunk and angry, and that's what he did. And then he made her clean it up. And the kid said, "I'm just so angry. How could I ever forgive him?" You see how the devil works? He gets in. He destroys one man's life that destroys another man's life. That's what he does. Today, it's nothing new. It's nothing grand. It's not some polished sermon that gives you the 3 points in a poem. It's just a warning. Beware. There's someone out there, whether you can see him or not, whether you feel him or not, he's out there, and he's out to get each and every one of us in this room and those watching online. I assume that there's probably some people watching online that didn't want to come today or couldn't make it out today. I know Pastor said he was going to try and watch. I want you to see that there is a real enemy. That there is a real enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll be dealing with verses 8 through 11. But I just want to start off with verse 8. God says in his word, "Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So I've got three things for you. I got bad news, I got comforting news, and I got good news, okay? So we're going to start with the bad news. The bad news is somebody's coming for you. They want to destroy you. We've talked about that a little bit already. He wants to wreck your life. We have an enemy. Pastor and I were talking a few weeks ago, and Bruce, and I don't remember if Cliff was there as well, but we were talking about struggles in our own lives and how sometimes we seem to fall, and we don't really fall into sin. I think that's a bad way to put that. I think we choose to sin, and it's like, why? And we boiled it down for us to one main thing. We're not thinking about it. When we get angry at work, we're just not thinking about the glory of God then. We're not thinking about the damage to our testimonies. We're not thinking about it. We're just mindless. And so I want you to wake up a little bit, to realize the danger, but also realize the victory that we have, that we can have. And I just want you to see, he seeks to destroy. He seeks to destroy. That's what he does. It's in his nature. He doesn't build hope like Jesus does. He comes in to destroy. We've all seen it in our own lives, haven't we? Have you ever said the wrong thing, got angry and said the wrong thing? I have. I remember one time I was with one of my friends, and I said the wrong thing, made a joke that was very offensive to him, and it should have been. I should have known better. And it kind of damaged our relationship for a little bit. Thankfully, he forgave me, and we went back to being good pals. I remember one specific time I made a joke about just kind of messing around. It was a big deal when I was a teenager, your mom jokes, okay? No offense to anyone's mother, okay? But it was a big deal for a little while, and I made a your mom joke to a guy I didn't really know that well. We were just kind of messing around. Well, comes to find out his mom had died from cancer 3 months earlier, and he was really struggling. I felt like an idiot. Like, was that sin? Well, I sure wasn't thinking about my words. I just spouting off. Your words have damage. Have you seen that damage in your own life? I've seen how my filthy pride and anger have turned people away. In college, man, I had a temper. Sometimes I still do. Sometimes I still struggle with it. And I watch how it destroys. And it devastates. Do you think that you can end up in this devastated position? You can. Do you think your kids can end up in this devastated position? They can. Do you know why? You are in danger. Someone's coming after you. I'm going to say it over and over today because I want to be on the forefront of your mind as you go out every day. I'm in danger and I'm fighting a battle. You're in danger and you're fighting a battle. He seeks to destroy. He seeks to devour. That's what the devil does. We must be ready. How can we be ready? Well, this verse tells us at the beginning. Verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant. That word sober is not necessarily talking about alcohol, you know, or some kind of drug. It's not talking about being not intoxicated. However, it does kind of play into that, but it's talking about being mindful, having your mind turning, thinking. It'd be like if I walked into this room knowing that there was another guy trying to hurt me. I walk differently. I don't just stroll up, you know, whatever. What's this Bible say? Who put that there? No. When I walk in like that, when I walk in and I know there's somebody up trying to hurt me, come through this door and I'm looking. Okay. Is he back there? No. I wonder if he's around this corner right here. No. Okay. Where could he be? Betty's in that closet. That's how I walk. I walk a little different. I might have my dukes up, you know, if you know what I mean. You know, I'm kind of ready. I'm braced, okay? Well, we want to have our spiritual dukes up, okay? It's not all about us and our power. It's actually nothing to do with that. But we have to have that mindset. We got to be turning. Our mind's looking. When you're in battle, I don't know for sure, but people have told me. I've never been in battle. But when you're in battle, your brain's looking. Boom, 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 boom. Your eyes are searching for anything that moves. And what is it? Identifying it, and if it's a threat, taking it out. Bam, you're making split-second decisions. My dad talks about, he was in the Marine Corps, and they were kind of guarding this road, and they knew this one really bad guy was going to be coming down the road. And so, you know, him and his buddies are diving through open windows and low crawling up, and they all kind of had surrounded this guy, and the guy had no idea. Why? Because he didn't think he was in any danger. He'd walked this road plenty of times before. But there's split-second decisions that are made, and he had to make one. And my dad's sitting there with a gun trained on him, and two other guys had a gun trained on him, and it was so dark he couldn't see anything. All he could see was just a little bit of a silhouette of his hands. They didn't know he had a gun or not. My dad said, I looked for down or up. That's what I looked for when we called out to him, down or up. And that was the decision that had to be made. Thankfully, it went up, and they were able to take him into arrest, or I don't know what I guess it's war, so I guess they take him back or whatever. I think they shipped him back to the States, and he had to stand trial for some crimes, but I don't know all the situation. But my point is there's a mindfulness. There's a split-second second decisions. You know, some in that same area that my dad was at, there was a Navy SEAL team. So there's a base for all the Marines, and you know, there was plenty of enemy out there, but some of the guys, they just weren't worrying about it. You know, whatever. So one of the guys was smoking a cigarette, just laying in his hammock, smoking a cigarette. All of a sudden, over the radio, you know, this guy comes over and says, well, somebody tell that idiot to put his cigarette out. The Navy SEAL team can see us from wherever they are, and nobody knew where they were, but they could see him, and he's like, you're an idiot. There's an enemy out there. Put that out. It's shining right where your head is, you know? Like, come on, guys. You know, think a little bit. That's what I'm wanting you to do. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be mindful. Be watching. He says, because there's a roaring lion. He's coming to devour. Take care. Men, what would you do if someone broke into your home and was trying to hurt your family? Do what I had to make sure they didn't hurt my family. Well, someone is trying to break into your home and hurt your family. He is. He's doing it as we speak, he's planting these seeds of deception, rebellion, and doubt, and he's trying to get in there. Guard against it. Get ready. Help. Be sober. Be vigilant. You got to be watching. So are you being reminded yourself, or reminding yourself that you're at war? There's someone out there? Or do you just, like me sometimes, go throughout your day, well, it's just a normal day, I'm going to work. I mean, I'm not in any danger, I'm going to work. No, yes, you are. You're in spiritual danger. There's an enemy out there, and he's real. Then the comforting news. So that was the bad news, okay? We've got, that's kind of the depressing part. We got an enemy, and he's trying to destroy and devour us. Not super encouraging, Caleb. No, it's not. One thing I wanted to note in this chapter is that Peter is writing with a background of persecution here. So 1 Peter was written to Gentile Christians that were suffering. They were going through a lot. The Romans were not treating them well, and it just it was a bad deal. Okay, much worse than we have it. Okay, and so with that in mind, there's some things that that he talks about in this passage that refer directly to persecution, but I think they apply to these temptations that we're having too. So I'm going to apply them in that way, but certainly the original context is that that persecution, and that is definitely true as well. So our comforting news is we're all in this together. Let's continue reading, reread verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. The same things that we go through, other people are going through. You're like, so basically you're telling me everybody's suffering. Kind of, yes, okay? It's an odd thing, but it's an encouraging thing. Like I mentioned earlier, Pastor Bruce and I and Brother Cliff have been meeting on Wednesday nights, and a lot of times we talk about the struggles that we're having that week. Just, hey, man, I've really been struggling with my attitude, or, man, I'm struggling with pride this week. I think I'm better than I really am, and I think I deserve better, whatever it is, and we talk about that, and then we cry out to God, and it's been a huge blessing. But one thing that we've noticed as we're talking with each other is, like, you know, pastor might say, you know, I kind of lost my temper at home and I don't even know what's going on. You know, like, why did I do that? And I was like, I did too. I lost my temper at work this week. And Bruce was like, I was getting pretty frustrated. Like, wow, we all are going through some similar things here. And that is encouraging in some ways. Like, sometimes I feel like, man, I am the worst guy to ever be on this planet, because all I can do is just mess up. And it's encouraging to hear, hey, you know what? I'm going through this too. And not just that. If it were just that, then it would be pretty discouraging still. But there's hope in Christ. And we can help each other. And we can work with each other. Hey, you know, oh, you're struggling with that too? Hey, how about we text each other or call each other and see how we're doing this week? Kind of check up. How about your time in God's Word? How's that been going? Oh, not so good. You think that might have anything to do with your attitude, or no, or yes? Like, oh, yeah. Well, let's work on that together. You can bond together over some of these things that we struggle with. You know, what's been really neat for me is, you know what? My pastor struggles with stuff too. And I know that he's mentioned to you, I'm in the middle of my sanctification process. And he is. You know what? It's kind of encouraging. It's kind of like, yeah, he's growing and I'm growing, and we're just gonna get in here together, and we're gonna take the next step towards Jesus. That's what we're gonna do. So there's some comfort there that says, hey, we all face some of the same temptations. We all are suffering in the same ways. So let's get together and help each other. Let's bear each other's burden. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes when you're carrying something, you know, like I carry a lot of siding. Right now we're doing a big siding job off of BD Road there, and I'm the cut guy. And you know what the cut guy does? He cuts, and then he gets more siding, and he cuts it, and then he gets more siding, and then he cuts it. And occasionally, he will install a piece while somebody else is doing something, but pretty much that's what I do all day. Well, the pieces are in a four-pack. They're 16 foot long, and they're about quarter of an inch thick. They're not very thick. And they're all the way around the front of the house, and that's fine for the front of the house. It's not so fine for the back of the house. So we'll carry them to get, you know, I'll put one on my shoulder, and it kind of flops down because they're not very big, and they're a little heavy, and so I carry one as I go, you know, to the back. Well, one of the times I was carrying them, and one of the guys was right there. He's like, why don't we grab two and carry them together? And I was like, okay. It doesn't really make much sense, though, because, you know, one, you carry one, I carry one, same thing. And we popped them up on our shoulders, and I was amazed at how much easier it was to carry the two. We're each carrying the same amount of load, but it was easier together. Why is that? Well, the way it was sitting, the balance of it, how floppy it was, that kind of thing, all that plays into it. But that's kind of how we are. You know, I'm struggling and you're struggling, but together we help each other. That's how it goes. The Bible talks about in Ecclesiastes, when one falls, the other can help him up. But if he's by himself, he can't even get up. So when the one falls, the other one helps. And when the other one falls, the other one helps. And it works like a piston in a car, you know, kind of drives down so that the engine can start working and you can start moving forward. That's what we want. Together, it helps. So are you suffering? I hope not. Are you suffering alone? You don't have to be. There's people here. We're a community. We come together. We lift each other up. You know what? Emmett and I meet every week. I need help with my devos. I need help spending time in God's Word consistently. So he texts me and says, hey, how are you doing on your devos today? Today? Oh, I'm still going to get them in by tonight. How about yesterday? Didn't do them. You know, how about you? I've been doing good. Or I'm struggling this week too. Come on, we got to get going. It helps to be able to meet and say, how did we do this week? Oh, not so good. How did we do last week? Oh, not so good. This is trending bad. Oh, how did we do this week? We did better. We have a little system together that we go through, and it's amazing. As you spread out 3 or 4 weeks, it's like, hey, look at that. You look at our papers. We're getting better. This one's a lot better than the first one. This is great. This is awesome. We're moving forward. That's what we should be doing. You know, each one should have someone. So that way we're all connected like a spider web. Where you click the one little prong of the spider web and the whole thing goes boing, 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 you like that. And then the spider comes back and rebuilds it, and you click another one and it's boing, boing, because everything's held up together. It's all connected. And, you know, some spider webs string a line from way over, you know, whatever. But, you know, a good spider web, you got that kind of effect. That's what we want. It's comforting to know. Then the good news. God is going to do some great things. Your suffering, it's here. But it's only for a little while, he says. Let's continue reading. And we'll pick up verse 9. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That sounds nice, doesn't it? So we're gonna face some suffering. We're going to face some temptations. We're going to face some challenges. But it's only for a little while. He says, hang in there. Hang in there. It's only for a little while. We're going to get through this. And when we get through this, God's going to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. Isn't that encouraging? Wow, what a God we have. The good news. was interesting to me as I read through this passage. It said a roaring lion, and roaring just stuck out to me. So I looked up in several different translations, and I was like, let me see what this one says, roaring. Let me see what this one says, roaring. Let me see what this one says, roaring. And I was like, why didn't they just say a lion? Like, is that not scary enough? Like, but it's roaring lion. What does that have to do with anything? And so I thought, well, maybe they, like, roar to when they go after their prey or something like that. Like, maybe they do something like that. Nope. Everything I read online said lions do not roar when they're going after their prey. They're actually very stealthy when they're going after their prey. I was like, that's kind of weird. I thought, why would it say roaring then? So I looked up a few more things, and I found a couple reasons why a lion roars. A lion will roar when he is old. When he's old. And his teeth have fallen out. You're like, seriously? Yes. I guess have bad dental hygiene. I don't know. Okay, his teeth fall out. And then he can't hunt. That's a problem, right? That means he's going to die soon. Well, the rest of the group hunts for him. Okay? And so that lion, he goes out into the field. He kind of protects, does some things. But he goes out into the field, and he'll roar to scare his prey towards the other lions. Have you ever noticed that in your own life? It's kind of interesting. I've had some things where it's like, oh, I don't want anything to do with that, so I'm going to go way over here to the wrong on this side because I don't want anything to do with that wrong on that side. No, where I should be is right in the middle where God wants us to be. And it kind of reminded me of that. And it's not in the Bible, but it kind of reminded me of that. And then another reason, he roars when he feels threatened. Do you think that Christians threaten the devil? Like, well, we're not as powerful as he is, are we not? We've got a great God, and he's given us all power that we can defeat this sin. Maybe he's roaring because he feels threatened. Maybe we're on the right track. When we start getting bombarded with these things, probably on the right track. You keep defending, keep pressing, keep going, keep watching, because I think you might be on the right track. It is really interesting. Sometimes when we're at church and we're going, we're working and we're moving forward, it seems like all of a sudden, so-and-so got sick, so-and-so got hurt, you know, whatever it is, you know, this person, man, they messed up, and this person stopped coming to church because of this, and this person got mad at this person, and so they're not coming back. And it's like, what happened? The devil started feeling threatened. And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, I got to work on that church because they're starting to gain some traction. They're starting to do great things for God. I can't have that happen. Maybe that's what happens. But my personal favorite reason why we hear a lion roar. And that, understand, this is not Bible. These are maybe some conclusions from an example, okay? But he roars when he's been defeated. When the prey gets away, when he lost his meal, he roars because he's frustrated. He says, oh, man. Caleb chose right again. Oh, man. I thought I was going to be able to get in their marriage there. Nope. They shut me down. Oh, that roaring lion comes back again because he has been defeated, hasn't he? He may have bruised a heel, but we crushed his head. Christ came, and he died for our sins. And the devil thought, yes. I won. And then he rose from the dead victoriously and crushed that serpent's head. We're the winners. I read the end of the book. We win. Okay? The conclusion is, we win. So it's time for us to start living like it. It's time for us to not get defeated, to not get distracted, to spend time in God's word, to be growing, taking the next step toward Jesus. You say, I don't know what that is. Find out. Get help. Come to people. Be discipled. Are you discipling? Our sign says disciples making disciples. Who are you discipling? Who's discipling you? If neither of those things are happening, we're not doing what God has called us to do. We've got to get to it. And no, when we get to it, the devil's not going to like it. We've got an enemy. We've got a roaring lion out there seeking to devour us. So you say, okay, so how do we defeat this lion? How do we make him roar because he lost his prey? Well, we've got a couple things here. We are not defeated. And it starts with humility. I'm going to go back to the beginning of 1 Peter 5, and we're going to start in verse 5. It says, likewise, ye younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. So, if you're younger, you should submit to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, I've read that verse I don't know how many times. Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. But I started thinking about that casting all your care. Well, who wrote this? Peter did. He's very familiar with casting, isn't he? And not like this. Okay, he didn't cast like this. Probably more like, you know, throw out these nets. Peter's a fisherman. That's what he does. So that's the idea. If I were to take one of you and throw you, that's the idea. You got no option. After you're thrown, you're out there. You got no other option but God. That's what he's saying. Cast your care on him. You know what that takes? Humility. It takes humility. We're not going to be able to resist that devil until we say, I need you, God. Proverbs says not to lean on your own understanding. That means even like this. So I'm mostly standing on God, but I'm just going to lean a little bit on me. It's the same idea with casting here. He says, cast it out. Cast all your care, everything you got, give it to me. And to where there's nothing left. Well, you got no other option but me. I care for you. That's what gets us through. That humble response to Christ that says, God, I need your help. There's an enemy out there. I'm scared. I'm afraid. Man, I'm telling you, if there was a lion in that fellowship hall, I'd be scared. Yeah, I'd be going out that door for sure. Okay? Well, there is a lion. He's out there. And it's not just a physical death. It's a spiritual thing. It's the glory of God at stake. It's lives at stake. God wants you to beware. This is a warning that Peter wrote. He says, listen up. Pay attention. Keep your mind turning. There's an enemy out there, and he's coming for you. And you know how you can get victory? You be ready for it, and you be humble. Humbly come to Christ and say, I need your help. This is an amazing truth. This is something that God has really been working on my heart. I seems like I'm thoughtless throughout my days. I get up with a prideful reliance on myself that says, I can do it today. You say, oh, I'd never say that. Well, do you take time to see what God wants you to do and what he has to say to you today? Today, this morning. Yesterday, the day before. If not, there's some pride in there saying, I got this. I can do this. I can do this on my own. I, I'm ashamed to say, that's me. Because the reality is, sometimes I really don't choose to believe that there's an enemy out there. I think I'm just going to be okay. But I'm not going to be. Neither are you. God has offered you a chance for a great victory. We have an enemy. Beware. Be warned. Let's go this week remembering we've got to fight the fight. Keep going. Put on our gear and get ready, because the devil's going to come. And when he comes, we have a great God that's powerful enough to defeat it. But it starts with a choice from us. Let's pray. God, you're so good. You love us so much. That verse is such a comfort to us, casting all our care on you because you care for us. But I've never really seen it as something that I have a responsibility to do. You want to take our temptations, our problems, our sufferings, our persecution, our everything we have, you want to take it. But in our pride and self-reliance, we walk away and say, I got this. Is there really a lion out there trying to get me? There is. I need your strength. My heart has been prideful this week and saying, maybe I don't really need God so much. I didn't use those words, but my actions spoke louder. God, forgive me. God, I pray that this week we would be mindful. Our mind would be turning, our eyes would be watching, and we would have a humble dependence on you for your strength. God, we thank you and praise you for all you're going to do. In your name I pray. Amen. I know this was a basic message. I know it was I was thinking about it before I started. Really, I said the same thing over and over again. I know I did. I did it on purpose. I want you to remember that we have an enemy. And the enemy likes to attack when we're not ready. So let's always be ready and be able to resist that temptation. I hope that you'll have a victory-filled week and you'll be able to see God working in amazing ways. And we can all come back next week, praise God together. We will miss you. Hannah and I will be out of town for the next 2 weeks, going to visit family in North Carolina and Virginia. And so we're going to miss you greatly. Hopefully be able to watch live stream and then maybe be at my parents' church as well. But we will miss you greatly. Keep coming. Keep listening for what God has to teach you, and keep growing. And I think that's it. You're dismissed.